Rams fans, welcome in. This is Ram Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight's on this episode of Ram Showcase, players grade teams. Well, how did the Rams do? Plus, the rumors are swirling. We will try to unpack a few of them. And later on, who stays and who goes? A peek into the Rams free agency class. Before we get into the grading here, I did want to let you know that the Rams Showcase, the process here of removing off of YouTube has been going, I guess, as smooth as it possibly can. So be sure to visit ramshowcase.com for all the latest involving the show, as well as myself. The Rams Showcase website is a one-stop shop for all Rams Showcase and Sheriff Joe Bags content. Merch is also available directly on that website and goes quite a long way in supporting the show. Make sure you also follow the Rams Showcase and myself on social media. That would be at Rams Showcase and at Sheriff Joe Bags just about everywhere for your latest on your favorite team, the Los Angeles Rams. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. And yeah, there was a pretty interesting release from the NFLPA and players grading teams. And I got to be honest, very surprised to see where some teams landed, including the Los Angeles Rams. I was surprised to see that the Minnesota Vikings were the number one rated team, according to the players, with all the parameters that they looked at. And I don't know if that should surprise me that the Vikings were at the top. One that did not surprise me one bit is that the Washington Commanders came in last place. Also, the Arizona Cardinals right in there as well, as far as being right at the bottom of the NFL. And those two things are not surprises at all. In fact, the Cardinals requiring their players to pay for food at the facility was honestly, I mean, as a rival here, not speaking just from the football fan perspective, but as a rival to that team, that's hilarious to me. So they get this new coach in here who's an absolute Michael Scott of a human. And then you also find out that that they padlock the fridges that have Gatorades on the days off and that they force their players to pay for the food. That is so funny to me. I absolutely love that. So the Cardinals, lots of changes should be happening in Arizona, but I won't be sad one bit if that does not happen. So let's take a look here at, first of all, this is the write-up that is on NFLPA.com. It's pretty short here, so I'll just read it for you. It says the Los Angeles Rams are ranked as the 25th best team in the league. They are currently operating from a temporary practice facility. However, they have not even broken ground at their permanent practice facility. So players expect to be working out of the current building for the foreseeable future. Players do not feel that the temporary facility was built to support professional athletes. And unsurprisingly, in the opinions of players, of player respondents, it leaves a lot to be desired. The negative feedback of the facility is somewhat offset by the positive feedback about the staff. The current coach, Sean McVay, supports his players as well as any other coach in the NFL. The players also think very highly of both their training staff and their strength coaches, and 95% of players feel like club owner Stan Kroenke is willing to spend money to upgrade the facilities, ranking 13th overall. The hope is that the willingness to invest translates into a new building to support the players soon. So with all that being said, 25th in the NFL, I got to be honest, that really surprised me because I guess over these last few years, the feeling of the Rams has been upgrading and being player friendly, moving to Los Angeles and having a new stadium and all this stuff. It's come across to me that all this stuff was going extremely well and extremely positively, and that players liked to be part of the Rams organization. But 25th in the NFL, that feels so low to me. And I was just very surprised to hear that that was where the Rams were falling on this. So let's take a look at, we can kind of unpack this a little bit. So treatment of families, the players graded the Rams as a D+, which is tied for 24th in the NFL. And I don't know exactly what all goes into this. I would assume there's a lot of different aspects of this and that it probably would be kind of individual player based on the treatment of families. I'm sure that there are some situations or some players that would disagree with the D+ rating, but I'm sure. But that's the thing, too, is that these are not up for debate. They are the players grading the teams. It's very much of like the NFL top 100 list. That's not up for debate. I mean, we can say all we want to. It's like, oh no, that guy's not as good as that guy. There's no way. But also, who the heck are we? I mean, these guys are going against him every day and every week in games, and they see him in practice. They see him in the film room, in the weight room. Like, who the heck are we eating Doritos at a bar, like drinking a mini pitcher straight from the pitcher? I don't use a glass. I'm not that classy. But who am I to say that's wrong, that their ratings are wrong? So ultimately, these are not up for debate. The Rams got a D+ for treatment of families, and I'm not sure how they can increase that is really my point here. Food service and nutrition. We're ragging on the Arizona Cardinals, which is going to be a trend forever. And also, sidebar, I see all these rivalry things all the time, and they always put the Rams with the Cardinals and the Seahawks with the 49ers. And I got to say, I don't think that the Rams necessarily view the Cardinals as big of rivals as the Cardinals view the Rams, if that makes any sense. I feel like from our perspective, like I know for a large portion of my Rams fandom, it's been Seattle has been my team that I've disliked the most. And there's a lot of different reasons that go into that. Obviously, the 49ers are in that conversation. They are like the rival of the Rams. It's an interstate rivalry. But I feel like this whole Cardinals thing, like that is the one that gets the conversation. And I just don't know if that's from our perspective. I guess when I look at the rest of the division, I don't look at the Cardinals like, oh man, these pesky Cardinals. Like the Rams just kind of own them a little bit, and it hasn't been, the Cardinals just really aren't that big of a threat and really haven't been. I don't see that they will be. I would be surprised if they were under Gannon, their new head coach, who is so funny. And I feel like people think that he's going to be a Nick Sirianni. I don't think he is that guy. I don't know. I think he's we'll see, I guess. I don't want to say, I can't pick on him yet because I don't know, actually, because I thought that Nick Sirianni wasn't going to be good either. So maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I say all that to talk about the food nutrition is the Rams getting a D in this position, tied for 22nd in the NFL. So a D, I mean, obviously that's extremely low. Again, I'm not sure exactly what the Rams could do to improve this. I would assume it's got to be a selection thing, potentially a quality thing. It's also LA, so maybe avocado toast or so. I don't know. That feels like I'm being rude to California when I say avocado toast, but I'm in Colorado, so it's out here too. Weight room, the Rams get a C, so right like middle of the road, but this is also tied for 25th. You got to think that NFL facilities, they are top notch, and you would think that the Rams would have a top notch facility here, but of course, just ranking C, that's not really great. Strength coaches, the Rams coming in with an A+, that is tied for first. Of course, you can't really get any higher than that. And if you're at an A+, you're going to be tied for first. They're not number grades here. We just get the letters. So A+ for the strength coaches, which is obviously awesome. You love to see that when you're, at least if your facilities are not top notch, that your staff is. And that's really cool to see. Training room is just a D+. And I don't know if this is just part of the facilities thing again, that they had kind of talked about, like just dealing with temporary facilities, which is definitely a pain. And hopefully with these new, like the new development that Kroenke has recently purchased, hopefully this can just get done and we can move forward with an awesome facility instead of what the Rams have been dealing with right now. But just a D+ where that goes. Training staff, A+, tied for first again. You wouldn't expect anything less from Reggie Scott and the boys because this is quite the crew. We've known this for a long time, though. This last season, the Rams dealing with injuries and missing, I think it was 98 games due to injury, most in the NFL by a gap. And I think it was just kind of unfortunate how it all kind of worked out. The injuries that we were seeing were not something that I would consider really like training related, where it kind of felt like the Rams just weren't prepared or anything like that. It just seemed like the Rams finally got unlucky with injuries. We've been very fortunate in that department for the last probably 5 or 6 years. And law of averages kind of came into play there and kind of just fell apart on us. Locker room, sitting at a D here. And I'm not sure if this is necessarily talking about the training facility locker rooms or the SoFi Stadium locker rooms. If this is the SoFi Stadium locker rooms, well, that's a problem. A D is not very good. I will say that compared to even just some of the college locker rooms that are out there right now, I would say, yeah, if from the outside perspective, having never been in the locker room and having seen the way that other locker rooms are set up, even in college, even like the Air Force Academy, you got Texas A&M, Bama, Georgia, like these crazy locker rooms. And then you look at the Rams locker room, there's nothing really special about it. There's nothing hugely incredible where you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, you know? So I guess that would make sense. If the players were going to put this at a D, if you come from college and you go to SoFi Stadium to play for the LA Rams and your locker room in college was way more sick, then, I mean, yeah, you'd probably grade it pretty low, right? So I think that this is a SoFi Stadium thing. Lockers, I've been told, are kind of smaller than what people expect for such a massive venue, an expensive venue. So I guess that one does check out there. Team travel, we have a B minus there. That is tied for 18th, which means the teams are just crushing travel out here. That's like an awesome thing for most NFL teams, that travel is just so dope. As a B minus, you're 18th, you're bottom half of the league, but you're a B minus. I mean, that's something there. Some of the others that stuck out to me, I don't have the page open right now, but I do know that the training staff for the Ravens got an F minus, and that is rough. So not only does that guy, he's got to get fired, right? You can't, I think he did actually, if I'm not mistaken, but you can't allow that to happen as a team, especially with the Lamar Jackson stuff and the way that all unfolded. And then again, at one point, the Arizona Cardinals, which are hilarious, forcing their players to buy food in the cafeteria. And I've seen arguments on this, and I've seen the argument saying like, oh, poor millionaires, they have to pay for their own food. First of all, not every NFL player is a millionaire. All right. That's like the tippy top of the NFL talent pool. Those are the guys making money. If you even just look at the Rams, the Rams salaries, it is extremely top heavy. You've got your Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, and then like a drop off, you know? So to say that like, oh, these poor millionaires, they have to pay for food and stuff like that. I mean, I guess I understand your argument and where you would think that, but also this is the NFL. You're bringing in so much money, and these players are the reason you make that money. If these players stop showing up, guess who doesn't make any money anymore? Yeah, you. And you're going to make them pay for their food. I don't know. Maybe I'm the jerk here. Maybe, but I am 100% on the player side here. You should not have to show up to the facility and then pay for your own food. That to me is absolutely outrageous. And again, it's not where it's not every single player has a Kyler Murray contract where they can just come in and just drop money on food every day, and that's not a big deal. If this were the case, if I were a Cardinals player, I would never eat there. Just to prove a point, you know what I mean? I do it at my own work with our vending machine. They up the prices, and I was like, no, absolutely not. I'm out on this vending machine. And it's like, I'm not going to buy a stale Snickers bar for $2. That's absolutely ridiculous. So I get it from the player's perspective, but that's an absolute joke. So 100% on the player's side with that one. And I guess I can understand where that argument would come from as far as these players make so much money. Why wouldn't they be able to afford their own food? But also I disagree. I just blatantly disagree with that. I think that you should be able to support your players with meals, nutrition, and so you're asking for them to basically put their bodies and their lives on the line for you to make money, and you won't even give them like a chicken breast. Like, come on now, man, get it together. All right, let's go ahead and move on here. Just a really quick couple of updates as far as former Rams retiring. Cornerback Dante Dion, this one really surprised me. Dante Dion played for the Rams for just a short time, but his energy was absolutely electric. I was asked one time in my fan case, it was a long time ago, I apologize, I don't remember who it was that asked me, but I was asked who would I like to hang out with on the Rams, and at the time it was 100% Dante Dion, because that guy is so dope. Also, former Ram retiring center Austin Blythe, he was most recently with the Seattle Seahawks and has called it a career just after, 7 years. So Austin Blythe, who I was always a big fan of, has called it a career as well. So onwards and upwards to the Blythe family. All right, let's dig into some rumors here, because there is a lot of stuff going on right now involving the Rams and just rumors that are swirling. And I got to say, there's stuff to unpack here. So we'll start with Jalen Ramsey. We did hear that he is very likely to be traded, but according to who? I don't think we ever got that answer of who was saying this information. Who is saying that Jalen Ramsey is very likely to get traded? Because we need to know who said it and why do they, how do they benefit from that information coming out? So was it the team? Was it the team that released this information? That would make more sense than Jalen Ramsey releasing this information to anybody. But there could be so many different reasons that the Rams would want this information out. So A would be to generate buzz of any capacity. That would be to say, hey, the Rams are very likely to trade Jalen Ramsey, which would maybe perk up the ears of certain GMs to a point where they would pick up a phone and give the Rams a call and see exactly what the Rams are maybe looking for to send off for Ramsey or get in return for Ramsey. So just to kind of generate some buzz, generate some conversation about it. B would be to entice offers to get a deal done. So you could say something. It's just the same thing along the lines of just like we leak out the information so that you get that conversation started and people to reach out to you. C would be to prove a point to Ramsey. And I say this one simply because we've heard and I have not been able to, like, we don't know where this information came from, but we have heard that Ramsey was asking for more money. So the Rams basically were like, all right, well, we can't do that. We'll just get rid of you then. Officially unconfirmed reports, unless there's some information that I do not have, which I got to be honest, there's a bunch of information that I don't have. I'm dealing with the outside perspective here. So to prove a point to Ramsey, if he really did ask for more money, then the Rams really could just turn around and be like, all right, well, we can't do that. So if we'll be looking for a trade for you. And then just to let him know, like, all right, well, I mean, you don't control everything here, man. Like, it's like, we want you to be happy and stuff. But if that's what you want, like, we're over the cap right now. We cannot physically afford to give you more money. So if you do want more money, we can try to arrange a trade where you can seek that elsewhere. And then D, I don't know. The motive is not in front of us, and we don't know exactly what these conversations are going on like behind closed doors. We've seen Jalen Ramsey come out just kind of laughing at all this stuff right now. But also, we don't know. We have no idea if this is actually going to happen. On the flip side of it, was it Jalen that is kind of getting this conversation started? I really doubt it. I'm not sure what he would benefit from leaking this news out. I'm not sure if like him asking for more money or him releasing this information would make the Rams be like, oh, wait, we'll give you more money. I'm just not sure if I see that as a legitimate course that this has happened and why this information is out. Again, we did not know where this information came from initially, so that has to be considered. Will he get traded? I'm not entirely sure, but right now, I don't think I'd be surprised in either direction, but I mean, it's just one of those things where we don't know what those conversations are going. Why is this even a news story? Why did this information come out? Was it for somebody, either side, the Rams or Jalen Ramsey, to get more leverage on something? That is the information that we don't have yet. But I got to say, I think that Jalen Ramsey returns to the Rams this year. Contract wise, it makes way more sense to keep him for one more year and then have him find a new home or assist him in finding a new home via trade next season. Because, I mean, we're looking at the savings here. So if we do a before June 1st release, the Rams are saving negative $6.9 million. So that is obviously not an option. A trade before June 1st frees up just $5.6 million. Post June 1st release, the Rams open up $4.5 million. And a trade after the 1st of June, which I feel like is very unlikely, just the timing of that, $17 million would open up for the Rams. So a post June 1 trade ties in an $8.2 million in dead cap as well. So I'm just not sure if the savings is really dramatic enough. So if you tell me, even with a post June 1 trade, say let's go to that $17 million, which I gotta be honest, that timing just doesn't make any sense to me. I would still prefer Jalen Ramsey, especially in that time of year when the bulk of your roster is already set up. So a pre-June 1 trade, you free up $5.6 million. I use the same example as I used with Bobby Wagner, that we talked about last episode, is if you were offering me to have Jalen Ramsey on my roster or $5.6 million in cap space, give me Jalen Ramsey all day, every day, no questions asked. All right, this guy's absolutely one of the top tier players in the entire NFL at any position. And yeah, you can say the certain, like, he got burned here, he got burned there, whatever. That kind of stuff happens. It's the NFL. Spoiler alert, everybody's good in this league, all right? Sometimes you're going to have a play where it doesn't look like you absolutely just crushed everybody's soul. You can't do it 100% of the time. We've seen Cooper Kupp drop footballs, you know what I mean? It just happens. So Jalen Ramsey, though, $5.6 million, that's just, to me, it's just not worth it. Next year would make a lot more sense, where a savings of $15.3 million with a pre-June 1 release, that makes way more sense, and it's another year. We get to see him this year and see kind of like how his progression or regression is going. He's about that age now where you would expect to see it. We haven't really yet. We've seen plays here and there, but also let's stop picking on Jalen Ramsey for the 5 wins that the Rams got this year. All right. Like, not a lot of Rams players were good, but we're going to pick on Ramsey for like giving up 3 touchdowns. No, I'm not about that, because I think it's absolutely absurd. It's like we want to pick on Jalen Ramsey. I think it's just because he's loud. He's obnoxious. He's one of those players that you love him when he's on your team, and the second he's not, you're like, this guy's so annoying. But he's on our side right now, so I'm definitely backing him up. But him giving up a few touchdowns here and there, a few bad plays here and there, is not the reason that the Rams only won 5 games. So I think I'm definitely a Ramsey supporter and a defender to a certain extent, for sure. But in short, we do not know if Jalen Ramsey is going to be traded or not. And the anonymous source, the anonymous origins of this story, maybe they'll be seeing some heat if Ramsey does just quietly return to the team. We'll see what happens, though. The newest rumor is wide receiver Allen Robinson could be moved this offseason. Robinson was ultimately pretty underwhelming for the Rams this year. But again, it was a 5-win season. Most players were underwhelming for the Rams this year. A lot of injuries, a lot of just not things not going the Rams' way. So trading is truly the only option to save any money for this move for Allen Robinson specifically. But does anybody really want to give up any assets to acquire Allen Robinson? That part I'm not sure about, but I would guess that the Rams would have a hard time pulling it off. If anything, it would be probably late round pick, something like that. At which point, I mean, is it worth it? I mean, do you just keep them and try to? It was 1 year, and it was a down year for the Rams. So do you just? I think I would rather just keep Allen Robinson and see if that what we thought he could be. Does develop into year 2, because we also know, I mean, the McVay offense is not easy to learn. So maybe he does just like, maybe now he's going to be way better. Like a year 2, maybe it's going to be super sick. He was super underwhelming, yes, but also it was a 5-win team. So a lot of people were underwhelming this year. He has an 11.2 mil in dead cap with a pre-June 1 trade. So that's just a lot of money to eat. The dead cap thing, it was fine when the Rams were still like just like hardcore contenders, but with the way this last season went, killing a portion of your salary cap just doesn't feel like the move right now. Makes a lot more sense to just go ahead and keep Robinson and not just eat dead cap for what feels like no reason. Just keep him on your team for at least one more year, unless the Rams do have a plan at this position. Could we see a Robert Woods and OBJ return to Los Angeles? If that answer is even a 50% yes, if either one of those two is returning to the Rams, then I'd say it is reasonable for the Rams to move off of A-Rob, even if it is for a later pick. Because if you give me the option to have Allen Robinson or Robert Woods, I'm taking Woods. If you give me the option of having Allen Robinson or OBJ, I'm taking OBJ. No hate towards Allen Robinson. I like Allen Robinson. I just thought that his impact on this offense was going to be so much higher, and it just wasn't. But again, It's been one season, and that season was a dud. It was a total bummer of a year for the LA Rams, and we can't blame Allen Robinson for that. We can't blame Bobby Wagner for that. We can't blame Jalen. We definitely can't blame Bobby Wagner for that. That's a stupid even. That's even dumb to even bring up, because I don't think anybody would blame Bobby Wagner for that. He had an incredible year. One of the best years a Rams linebacker has ever had, and it's just like a one and done. It's like, what a tease Bobby Wagner is to this entire fan base and franchise, right? Like, he just shows up, has an absolute monster of a year, and then just like, all right, I'm going to peace out. Like, dude, come on, man. But, oh, well, that's, I guess that's kind of beside the point at this time. But Allen Robinson, it's not his fault that the Rams only won five games. The Rams offensive line got absolutely smoked with injuries, and just wasn't our year. Simply put, just wasn't our year. I don't know if the Rams, like, maybe coming in too hot off that Super Bowl, but I will say, week one, 31-10 to the Bills, it was like, oh no. It was right away for myself. It was like, crap. Okay, hold on a second. Like, stop the bleeding. And then it was just not doing great the whole year. But you know that already. If you're listening to Ram Showcase in March, you know that this was not a good year. And also, the final rumor that we will touch on here is going to be the return of safety John Johnson. Honestly, I'd be surprised. I loved John Johnson when he was a Ram, but it feels like that's over, right? Like, it feels like that is kind of done now. The Rams have already kind of got this position under control, I would say. It's not super expensive right now. I think that Nick Scott is a potential to return unless he's getting potentially good offers elsewhere. I really don't want to see Taylor Rapp return, but that is obviously an option as well. Still, Jordan Fuller is available. We got Russ Yeast back there as well. So I think that the Rams are actually in an okay spot at the safety position. Although John Johnson is an awesome safety, and it would be really cool to see him back. I just don't think that it happens. John Johnson, he's got one of the interceptions that has made me lose my mind the most in Rams history, which is that one in the NFC Championship game against the Saints. When Bobby Fowler blasted Breeze, and then he was able to get to that ball over who he did it over with too, is like, that's like even better, because Michael is not cool. Michael Thomas is not a cool guy. So that was awesome as well. But Nick Scott could return. Like I said, Jordan Fuller still under contract. I would guess that John Johnson would be asking for a little bit more than the Rams would be willing to give up, especially considering right now the Rams are currently over the salary cap, and under Sean McVay, we've seen a history that the Rams are not necessarily big payers of the safety position. There is a few positions that the Rams just really haven't gone big on. Linebacker is one of those that has bitten the Rams recently. Bobby Wagner was kind of an exception to that rule. Interior offensive lineman, that one obviously didn't work out. Safety, definitely too many injuries at that spot as well. So I think that the balance of payment could be, I guess, a little bit more spread out in the future here. I think that this year was a big learning experience for many involved in the Rams organization. All right, so we will take just one quick break here, and on the other side, we're going to talk about who stays and who goes, a peek into the Rams free agents. And we'll see who I think is going to stay and who goes. And of course, you're always welcome to participate as well, as this is not a YouTube video. We'll kind of talk about that here, though, in just a moment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, welcome back into Rams Showcase. I am Sheriff Joe Bags at Rams Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags on all your favorite social media. So originally, I did want to do this segment in video form, but as things go, I currently do not have a platform to upload videos to. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm just going to do this segment here and talk about these LA Rams free agents and see who might be staying, who might be going. I'm going to try to give you a reason on every single one of these. I'm going to give all of the names as well of current free agents. So let's go ahead and start here. We will start with A'shaun Robinson. I'm not sure if I really anticipate that A'shaun Robinson would return. He's almost 28 years old, and I like his impact on the defense, but it just wasn't really overwhelming, I suppose. So I'm going to say that A'shaun Robinson does not return to the Los Angeles Rams and maybe is able to get a different payday somewhere else. Last year, I mean, he was sitting at about 8.5 mil cap hit. So, I mean, I think with what he brings to the defense, that's a little much. But also, I like A'shaun Robinson. I wouldn't be sad to see him return if that were the case. Baker Mayfield at quarterback. So right now, the Rams currently only have one quarterback under contract for this next season. That is Matthew Stafford. Of course, we know the history of the Wolf Au as well as Hercules at the backup quarterback position. So that is something that we, of course, need to consider as fans, that it's very possible that one or both of those guys do return to the Rams. But Baker Mayfield, there is some steam saying that, that Mayfield could return to the Rams at a backup position. And I got to say, I would absolutely love this. I think he's the perfect backup for the Rams. When Stafford went down and we were seeing the Wolf Au and Hercules taking the reins there, I mean, it was hard to watch. It was not good. I don't know why the team has been so high on John Wolford for so long. As a backup, I don't mind the Wolf, but I would say as like any kind of starter, like entering a game where John Wolford is the starter, it was so hard to have any level of confidence that dope things were going to happen. But Baker Mayfield comes in and he shows up, and 2 days later, he's beating the Raiders in primetime after being down 13 with like a little over 3 minutes to go, which was so sick. I got to watch him throw his 100th career touchdown pass and make Tyler Higbee the all-time leader in touchdowns by a Rams tight end in Green Bay. That was an awesome day. Plenty of photos. And that is one of the videos that will remain up on YouTube, by the way, is me talking about my experience in Lambeau this last season in December. But Baker Mayfield, I do anticipate that he would come back. You got to look at all the other dominoes there too, though, of the Wolf Au and Hercules. If they don't return, then I would anticipate Baker Mayfield returning. But I think that Baker Mayfield does come back to the Rams as a backup for just one more year. Troy Hill at the cornerback spot. He is over 31 years old now. He did not have a great season opposite of Jalen Ramsey. I like Troy Hill. Cool dude. I've definitely enjoyed watching him as a Ram. But at his age and what his performance was this last year, I would say that it's probably time for the Rams to go ahead and move on and let Troy Hill test his luck somewhere else. Kicker Matt Gay would love to have Matt Gay back. He's awesome. He's one hell of a kicker, and I don't see a reason why the Rams would want to necessarily move on from Matt Gay. So it would be super cool to see him back and just keep that special teams in order, which I think which is definitely something that we'll talk about the rest of the special teams, as the entire unit is scheduled to be a free agent. So would love to see Matt Gay back, and I do anticipate Matt Gay coming back. He's not quite yet 29 years old. He's still got plenty of balls that he can be booting out here for a long time. Safety Taylor Rapp. I try to keep my own personal thoughts out of these as much as I possibly can, but I don't see a reason that the Rams would bring back Taylor Rapp. I just don't think his on-field performance is to the level that we need it to be on a consistent basis. He definitely has some plays, but he's made it to the NFL, so obviously he's good in some capacity. But the coverages that we've seen him blow, there's a lot to be desired, I guess, in Taylor Rapp's play. I liked him as a rookie, but then he's been that same player ever since. I just thought we'd see more progression out of him by now. Ode Obuchi as a guard, almost 32 years old. It would be nice to see Obuchi back. We had, honestly, the way the Rams offensive line kind of was handled this year and the beating that it took, we kind of got some a few guys that are gems on that offensive line. Older gems, for sure, but Obuchi is definitely one of those, almost 32 years old. And it would be really cool to see him back for any kind of depth or a leadership role. But I'm not sure if that actually happens for Ibushi. So I'm going to go ahead and lock in that I think that he goes. Taiyan Seki was coming in at left tackle for a good portion of the season there late and was playing really, really well. But he's over 37 years old now. I would guess that his playing days are about over. And I think that the Rams already having invested in Joe Noteboom, who, I mean, is not, he did not play great at left tackle, but the Rams do have some investment there. I would be surprised to see Nseki return to the Rams. I think that the tackle spot is kind of handled right now. And there's also those rumors of Taylor Lewan coming over. We didn't talk about that because I don't, that is it. That's all the information that we have is Taylor Lewan coming to the Rams. And I just don't know if I see that happening. I'm not sure if I want that to happen myself. I'm not anti Taylor Lewan. I just don't think we need to do that move again. I think that we can find other ways to improve our offensive line. Next up, we'll go with Riley Dixon, who is creeping up on 30 years old as a punter. And Riley Dixon didn't necessarily play great, but I also don't think he played necessarily poorly. Pretty middle of the road as far as a punter season goes. I think also we were a little spoiled by Johnny Hecker for so many years and how awesome he was. So Riley Dixon was already in a position where he was going to get criticized no matter what. But I wouldn't mind seeing him return just to keep that continuity going. And him and Matt Gay, I think that they had a really good connection there. And Matt Gay was not missing a lot of kicks. And I mean, to put it bluntly, and maybe not a lot of people understand or know this, that your holder on field goals is one of the main reasons you make or miss. That hold is extremely important. The kicker is doing what the kicker does, which is kicking the ball how he thinks it's supposed to be kicked. You know what I mean? But like, if it's tilted a little wrong or it laces in, whatever, then a lot of things can go wrong. So the holder is extremely important in the field goal process. And with the Rams' success in that area, I think it would benefit the team to return Riley Dixon. Which also brings us to return man, Brandon Powell. Pow, as I like to call him. I would love to see him back. I think he's just an exciting returner. Obviously, this is a position that is fillable. There's guys who can return. It's a thing. When people are fast and shifty and good at football, chances are they were returning kicks and punts in high school and or college. And there's plenty of them out there, but Brandon Powell, B-Pow, I think he's awesome. Matt Skura, I'm not sure if we see him return. He is 30 years old. He was playing well at that left guard spot, but again, we just had so many injuries. We're going to see a lot of these guys return, so I'm just not sure if Skura is one of the guys that comes back to this Rams team. After that, we'll go with Malcolm Brown. No real reason to bring back Malcolm Brown. His performance was pretty underwhelming this year. More so than I guess I expected. I liked Malcolm Brown. He's the first touchdown in SoFi Stadium history, which was super cool. And it was really cool to see him return, but he just wasn't the same player. Cornerback David Long. I would anticipate that the Rams do bring him back, probably for a pretty low contract, though, as his impact on the defense has not been overwhelming. I would anticipate that he kind of comes back on like a shorter deal, maybe a 1 or 2 year deal. The Wolf, John Wolford. So I got to be honest, I'm surprised at John Wolford's age. He's a little over 27 years old. I don't know why I thought he was older, and maybe that's just myself, my own brain, thinking about his past and how many times or how often we've seen him playing, from Wake Forest to the Arizona Hotshots. So he's kind of been around a little bit. So, maybe that's where my brain is going with it, but to see his age did surprise me. But John Wolford, I don't think that the Rams need him back. He is a restricted free agent, so it would be extremely easy to bring him back. But I think that the contract that would come with that is a little unnecessary, especially if you are considering bringing back a Baker Mayfield onto your team. Next here is going to be outside linebacker Traven Howard. He is an exclusive rights free agent, so it would be not a big deal to bring him back. And you could get him for a really reasonable price from the team perspective. And I like Traven Howard, actually. So his progression is present. If he can stay healthy, then I really like what he can bring to this defense. And also, I mean, we can never forget the hero that he is in the NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers for getting that pick and closing out the game. Even got tackled by Greg Gaines on that play, which is real cool. Long snapper, Matthew Orzech. Again, no reason to not bring him back. I think that he's a fine long snapper. And I mean, when you have a guy at this kind of position who does a good job, we didn't hear his name all year. And that's exactly what you want out of your long snapper. You don't want to hear who your long snapper is ever. So Orzech killed it. Grant Haley is a defensive back. I would say that Haley could potentially return, maybe even on like a some kind of futures deal or something, unless he does want to test free agency. But Haley, not necessarily like a very urgent person to return to the team, but I don't think he's a bad player. So a good person for depth at that spot. Greg Gaines, the fastest player in the NFL, not yet 26 years old. So I would love to see him back. His progression is going. Actually, let me click on what they have his market value is. I'm sitting here on SpoTrac right now, but $7.7 million a year is what they're projecting for Greg Gaines. And I got to say, at that price point, do it. Bring him back, because this guy's getting better as each year goes on. And you can even see his progression in season. During the football season, you can watch him get better, which is really, really cool. Jake Jervis. I'm trying to remember now. I had a whole conversation Jervis, actually. I think that we did discover that that is Jake Jervis. He did finally respond to some tweets. I tweeted him, and then he was not responding, and then somebody else said that they know him and said it's Jervis, and then that's when he responded, and he's like, that's not actually right, it's Jervis. So Jake Jervis, I would say, I don't expect him back. That's what I'll say on Jervis. Marquise Copeland, this is a good guy for depth. You could also get him back really cheap, so that would be a good one. But also, if you're looking at the next name here, Michael Hoyt, if you had to pick between these two, I think I go Hoyt. But Copeland, I think that these two are really good players, and I think that as far as like a rotation kind of situation, these guys are great to have on your defensive line as far as the depth goes. When Aaron Donald goes out for just a couple of plays, or like this season where it's a couple of games, it's really cool to have guys like this who can perform at high levels and keep that. It's not, of course, to the same level of Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's very, very difficult to replace. But it's good to have guys who do have talent when that situation does happen. Bryce Perkins, Percules. I don't think that Bryce Perkins comes back. If he's currently like the fourth option right now, and that's pre-free agency period and all that stuff. So we've got Matthew Stafford. After that, I would put Baker Mayfield. Then the Wolf, Awu, and then Bryce Perkins. And I personally would swap Perkins and Wolford. But from the team perspective, what we've seen from this team, it feels like the coaches would have Wolford above Perkins. So for that reason, I do think that Perkins does move on. Sean Jolly at corner, not a real reason to bring him back. I think that he was really brought in just because of some injuries that were going on here. So Sean Jolly, not necessarily a bad player. He is an exclusive rights free agent, so that does help if the Rams do want to bring him back in. David Edwards at guard. So interesting stuff going on with David Edwards as far as the injuries go, because he was put on IR due to concussions, and it was not good. It was not pretty for David Edwards. He's still not super old. He's almost 26 years old, but his playing career could be in some question now, especially at the timing of him becoming a free agent. Definitely not ideal for him, but I would say, even before the injuries, he wasn't playing well. So I think that does hurt him as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Rams go ahead and move on from David Edwards, but also at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Rams keep him as a depth position. I don't anticipate that he would be a starter starting the season. Christian Roseboom, I see no reason to not bring him back. He's an exclusive rights free agent. He's a really good special teams guy. And he's just I like what he brings to the team, but also it's not super overwhelming what he brings to the defense, anything like that. But where he shines is special teams, and I would like to see that continue. Which brings us to our final name here, which is Nick Scott at safety. Almost 28 years old. He is just an unrestricted free agent, so he is free to sign wherever he wants to once the new league year starts, unless the Rams do make a move. I personally really want to see a Nick Scott, Jordan Fuller safety combo back there with the depth coming from guys like Russ Yeast. So that's kind of where I'm at with that position group. Nick Scott, Jordan Fuller, I think that is a killer combo. And if we can also find a way to see some progression from some of our younger corners, so in keeping Jalen Ramsey, which we still don't know if that's going to happen, that is still very much up in the air. But I would love to see something along the lines of a Jalen Ramsey, Jordan Fuller, Nick Scott, Darian Kendrick, and Kobe Durant secondary. I think that would be very strong. I would be all for it, and we'll see, I guess, what happens. A lot of changes coming to the defensive side, though. We know with Bobby Wagner leaving, potentially Jalen Ramsey leaving, we're going to have a new safety with potentially Taylor Rapp not coming back as well. Is Ernest Jones, is he going to be the captain, or is it going to be Jordan Fuller? These are things that we'll be talking about as the season kind of creeps up on us, but we're still only in March, so it's not necessarily where we're at right now. That's who stays and who goes. Normally done in a video form, but right now, again, with the issues that I had with YouTube, we are pulling off of YouTube entirely. I did post a video there, my final one, my goodbye to YouTube. But not to Rams fans, as we do have RamsShowcase.com. That is now where you're going to be able to find the content. And we're finding a better way to embed the podcast directly into the front page. The way that it was done this last episode, I wasn't a big fan of that, and I that might be continuing, but we will have to, I guess, see and test some things out. And this is my first time running my own website, so I'm still learning. I'm just a baby with it, and we'll get there. We'll definitely get there. But it's RamsShowcase.com. Make sure you also follow Rams Showcase on all your favorite social media at Rams Showcase, Instagram and Twitter. Follow myself as well at Sheriff Joe Bags, Instagram and Twitter. And there's also going to be a link tree in the description where you're hearing me right now as well, where you can find all this information. Purchasing a Rams Showcase t-shirt, that definitely goes a long way. They are super awesome. And there's a page for that directly on the Rams Showcase website as well. Just click on merch at the top, and it'll bring you right there. So that is going to do it for episode 2 of season 8 of Rams Showcase. We didn't quite hit the hour here. I don't know if I'm actually trying to hit hours. I'm just trying to talk until I'm done, I guess, is the new way of Rams Showcase. Without video form, I think I'm feeling a little bit more freedom in the topics and the structure and stuff. So I don't know if that's real or not, but now that I don't have a camera on me, I'm just like chilling, extra chilling, I guess. That's we're doing great. That is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Baggs. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fansided Network. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.